best and I reckon only reason that we would come to God as we are, right now, as we are, without trying to fix ourselves up a bit, is we believe His promise. Isn't that right? If I believe His promise, I'm coming. All right, Psalm 51. All of you here know very well the story of David committing adultery with Bathsheba, how she became pregnant with David's child, how David tried to cover up his sin by having Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. Uriah was a faithful and a valiant warrior, valiant servant of David. David ordered his men to put him in the heat of the battle and withdraw from him. He was killed. And then he married Bathsheba, trying to cover up this sin with Bathsheba. Now, if all we see in this story is David's problems, we've missed it. What I want us to see is our sin nature. And this very issue, our sin nature. How this is our sin nature, so we are just fine with sin. Almost always, we're just fine with sin. After all that that David did, for 9 months, David's conscience didn't bother him a bit. Went about his business, conscience didn't bother him a bit, until God sent Nathan to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and told him, David, you're the man. See, everything David thought was fine until he was reminded. God's servant came to him with a message from the Lord and reminded him what a great sinner that he was and how much he needed Christ. And the same thing will apply to you and me, won't it? Now let me ask you a question. Can a child of God really do that? You know, we say a child of God do anything if God doesn't stop him from doing it. Do we believe that really? Now, come on, do we? Can a child of God stray from the Lord that long? 9 months and his sin not ever bothering a bit? Of course they can. Here's a better question. You want a better question? Can I do that? Can I stray from the Lord that long? Of course I can. God lifts his finger off of me for a moment, I will do anything. Now, does that mean that if I do these things, my conscience doesn't bother me about sin, I just go about never thinking of the Lord, never seeing my need of him? If I do that for a period of time, does that mean that I'm not a child of God? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But I can promise you this, the Lord will not allow his erring child to stay in that state forever. Won't do it. How long are you going to let one of your children live in rebellion? Not all that long, are you? And the Lord will do for his children, all of them, what he does for David here in our text. The Lord's going to pierce their heart. He's going to convict them of who and what they are and cause them to one more time run to Christ. And I can tell you how he does it. It's not going to be a magical thing. You're sitting on your front porch and lightning's going to strike a tree next to you and you're going to wake up. I can tell you how the Lord's going to, how he pierces the hearts of his people. How he causes them to run to Christ again. It's through the preaching of the word. You know, when David's heart was pierced, when the Lord sent Nathan with a message from God. And that's how he's going to reach our hearts too, through the preaching of the word. This is yet another example of the importance. I wish I could stress enough the importance of public worship. Public worship is where the word of God is preached, and that's the place the Savior promised to meet with his people. That's the place. This is how the Lord saves his people, through the preaching of the word. This is how the Lord instructs his people, comforts them, encourages them, how he corrects them. It's all done by the preaching of the word. Well, how will the child of God react when the Lord sends that message and reveals our sin to us and reveals Christ to us again, reveals to us our need of Christ, whether it's the first time or whether it's the 1,000th time, the 10,000th time, how will God's children react to that? Well, they'll react in repentance and confession. That's the title of the message tonight, repentance and confession. Now, repentance is a turning. Repentance is turning away from what we've been trusting in, turning away from what we've been looking at, and turning to Christ, and trusting Christ. Repentance is a change of mind. When I repent, I change my mind about everything. And we have to do that from time to time. The Lord sends us a message, and we change our mind about everything. Because repentance isn't a one-time act, is it? No, the believer is constantly repenting of our sin. The believer is constantly turning to Christ. That's why Peter said, to whom coming? We don't just come to Christ once. We're constantly coming to Him. Just like we're constantly repenting. We're constantly turning to Him. And confession, the word means to acknowledge and to agree. Confession is just to say what God says. That's all it is. It's to acknowledge who God is, and it's to agree with everything God says about me. Everything God says about Him, and to agree with everything God does with me. That's confession. And from our text this evening, I want to give you six things that the repentant sinner will confess. Number one, the repentant sinner will confess a need for mercy. And this is not just saying, I need mercy. The repentant sinner will beg for mercy. Verse 1, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now you know mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. Well, what do I deserve? I deserve punishment in hell for my sin. I deserve for God to refuse to look at me. I deserve for God to refuse to accept me. He shouldn't accept me as I am. In His holiness and my sin, He shouldn't accept me. He should cast me in hell. That's what I deserve. But I'm begging for mercy, that God would not give me what I deserve. I freely confess that my sin is so great, there's nothing I can do to make up for it. So I need mercy. That's my only hope. My sin is so great, it can't be overlooked. It can't be ignored or swept under the rug, so I need mercy. I don't have any other hope. My sin is so great, it's a multitude of sin, a mountain of sin. I need a multitude of mercy. My sin is done in such open rebellion, open hatred of God. I need tender mercy. Tender mercy that comes from God's loving kindness. That's what I need. That's what David said he needed. You notice that David didn't get caught in this and suddenly start pleading merit, did he? Like he had something he could make up for this. No, he pleads for mercy. Not one time does David remind the Lord of his giant killing, how the whole army fled. But David, he didn't remind the Lord of that. He doesn't remind the Lord of all the songs he's written. He doesn't remind the Lord of all of his faithful service, bringing the ark back, all his faithful service. He doesn't remind the Lord of that. He doesn't say, Lord, I've done all this. Could you just overlook this one thing? He doesn't do that. He begs for mercy. God, be merciful to me. And everybody who ever truly repents does the same thing. Begs for mercy. I got no other plea. I got no other hope. There's no excuse for who and what I am. So I'm begging for mercy. Number two, the repentant sinner will confess his sin against God. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now David says, all I see about myself is sin. Again, I want this to be driven home to our heart. I don't want us to see, all I see about David is sin too. I want this to be applied to us. Let's take a good look at ourselves. Can you see anything but sin? David says, I can't see one good thing in me. I can't see one good thing that I've done. And that's accurate. That's exactly right, because everything we do is sin. And what makes our sin so evil, so wicked, is our sin is against God. Now, our sin hurts men. People do things that hurt you. David's sin hurt Uriah, didn't it? I mean, so in that way, our sin's against men. But our sin, the target of it is not men. The target of our sin is rebellion against God Almighty. Sin is against God. It's against God's nature. Sin's against God's commandment. Sin's against God's righteousness. Sin's against God's way. Sin's against God's goodness. David says, my sin is high treason. And listen, I didn't do it off in secret somewhere. I did it right in front of your eyes. That's what makes my sin so great. So when I confess my sin, I confess everything that I do is sin. And brother, it's my fault. It's my fault. Nobody made me do it. I didn't fall in with the wrong crowd. You know, I couldn't say, well, I wouldn't have done that if I'd been with different people. No, I would have done it anyway. I can't say my sin is the result of bad circumstances. You know, if I wouldn't have sinned if I would have been just in better circumstances. Yes, I would have. I would have. I would. You want me to make good on that? Adam. Our father Adam. We've got Adam's nature, don't we? Adam was in a perfect environment with a perfect crowd. And what did he do? Rebelled against God. You and me are the same way. So confessing sin is taking sides with God against myself and saying, God, you'd be right in sending me to hell. You'd be absolutely right. If God sent me to hell, all of creation would shout, hallelujah, because God's justice would have been served. God, you'd be just if you send me to hell. That's what David, whatever sentence you pronounce against me is just. That's what David means here when he said you'd be justified when you speak. When you speak and pronounce sentence on me, whatever you pronounce, it's right. It's just. That's what I deserve. Confessing sin. You know, we will never confess our sin as long as we're trying to justify ourselves. We can justify pretty much anything we do, can't we? Huh? We're good at that. Confessing sin is quit trying to justify ourselves and to justify God. To say, God, you're right, whatever you do with me. If you damn me, if you save me, you're right. You'd be just to pass me by and show mercy to somebody else. You'd be right. That's justifying God. But I'm begging for mercy because I am a guilty wretch. And it's all my fault. And I think this is very important too. David, you remember when Nathan told him you're the man? And told him everything's going to happen. The sword's not going to depart from your house, David. And David cried out. He didn't cry out about his punishment, did he? He cried out, oh, I've sinned against God. You remember, John Chapman's told this story often. He talked about him being a little guy. He did something wrong, get caught, and his dad would grab him by the arm. And John, he said, I had to start running around. And his dad would be, you know, having him in a circle going around. And John said, I won't do it no more. I won't do it no more. Well, he was just doing that because he was getting a whipping, wasn't he? That's not what David's doing here. He cries out about his sin. Sin is what's so gross and what's so disgusting about me. It's my sin that's broken me, that's broken my heart. But here's the greatness of God's mercy. The very one that we've sinned against is the one who forgives sin. And when we ask God to be merciful to us, we're not asking a small thing. We're asking for a big thing. Because our sin is so awful. Our sin is against the eternal God. That's why people spend eternity in hell. Because it's eternal sin. It can never be paid for by the likes of us. When we beg for mercy, we're begging for mercy because Our only hope of mercy is in the one we've sinned against. Our every action is sin against him. But the one we've sinned against is the one who can forgive sin. The one we've sinned against is the one that can be merciful. So we beg for sin, for mercy. We confess our sin is against God because only he can forgive us. But it's worse than that, really. Thirdly, the repentant sinner will confess that he is sin. It's not just what I've done is sinful. What I am is sin. My nature is sin. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, David's not saying his sin is his parents' fault. What he's doing here is he's confessing original sin. He's saying, I became a sinner in Adam. My nature is sin. That's why I drink iniquity like water. I am the opposite of everything God requires me to be. My nature is the opposite of God's nature. Now, if we would be saved, we must confess who and what we are. Who and what we are. Not just what we've done, but who we are. My actions are sinful because they come from a sinful nature. The fountain is polluted, so all the streams are polluted. The fountain is polluted, so everything I say, everything I do, everything I look at, it's all sinful. The streams are polluted because the fountain's polluted. I do what I do because of what I am. I am sin. That's my nature. And again, it's my fault. It's not Adam's fault for giving me this nature. It's not my parents' fault for passing this nature on me. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. Everybody who confesses sin will say, amen, when Nathan says, you're the man. We'll say, I am the man. God be merciful to me, the sinner. It's like I'm the only one. The problem is all with my wicked heart. The problem is mine. Right, fourthly, the repentant sinner confesses, I need a sacrifice. I need a blood atonement. At the end of verse 1, David says, blot out my transgressions. Now, David's pleading for genuine mercy. He's not asking God for pity. He's asking God for mercy through God's justice, through the atonement. There's got to be bloodshed in order to blot out my transgressions. David's pleading for a blood atonement. See, I need mercy, and I need mercy in Christ. God's mercy is never God just ignoring sin. God's mercy, true mercy, is God blotting out the sin of his people with the blood of his Son. So we cry, Lord, when we're begging for mercy, we're asking God, blot out my sin by the sacrifice of your Son. Give me mercy because you gave Christ, my substitute, the justice that I deserve. Now that's loving, that's mercy and loving kindness. That God would be merciful to me because he killed his Son in my place. See, this mercy is a big thing, isn't it? Have mercy on me. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. That's what he says in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now, sin is not just breaking the rules. Sin is filthy, and we are defiled with sin. We are so dirty, just filthy with sin. And a shower ain't going to clean us up. The baptismal pool is not going to clean us up. Coming to Sunday service 4 Sundays in a row, not going to clean us up. The only way we can be cleansed is in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. We can't be clean any other way. And we need to be washed thoroughly, not just on the outside, but on the inside. If God just takes me, washes me on the outside, what will I be? I'll be a whited sepulcher. Look clean on the outside, but what's going on inside? Full of dead men's bones, and excess and filth. So I need mercy. I need God to wash me thoroughly in the blood and the water. I need to be washed in the blood of Christ to justify me. And I need to be in that water, the water of the Spirit, the water that flowed from His side to cleanse me and to make me holy. God, wash me thoroughly. See, we ask for mercy. We're asking God to sacrifice His Son as an atonement, a sacrifice, a covering for our sin. We're asking God, don't just cover up my sin so that it's still there. Just can't see it because it's hidden under something. But wash it away so it doesn't exist anymore. Well, the only way that's possible is in the blood of Christ, isn't it? Verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop. Purge me. Get rid of my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, hyssop was a little leafy plant that grew in that area of the world, and they used that to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorpost. Hyssop is used to apply the blood, to sprinkle the blood. Hebrews calls it the blood of sprinkling, sprinkling from the hyssop. What David's saying here is what every repentant sinner says. Lord, apply the blood of Christ to my heart. Apply it to me. That way I'll be clean. Verse 9, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Blot them out so you can't see them. Now, the only way the all-seeing eye of God is not going to see my sin is if they're not there anymore. They've been washed away by the blood of Christ. I keep saying this, asking for mercy is a big thing. I mean, I'm afraid we use the word so often and all the time in prayer. I'm afraid, maybe you're smarter than me, but I'm afraid I do anyway. Forget what a big deal this is. God's mercy. We're asking God to sacrifice His Son, to take the blood of His Son as He sacrificed under the wrath of Almighty God and take that blood and apply it to me that I would be made whole. We don't deserve that, do we? That's why we beg for mercy. We beg God for mercy. You mark this down. Now, God's going to be merciful. We know He. God's going to be merciful. God's going to save people. He's going to save His people. But let's mark this down. God doesn't owe it to anybody. No, He doesn't. God does not owe it to me to kill His only begotten Son to put my sin away. God doesn't owe that to me. So I'm going to beg Him for it. I'm going to beg Him for it. And I'll tell you when we truly confess our sin. It's when I confess that I am such a great sinner. The only way my sin can be paid for is if God kills His Son in my place. My sin is so great, the only thing that can take it away is the blood of God. That's what a great sinner I am. That's when we confess sin. Look back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the moment we do that, the moment we confess sin, we're going to hear the same message from God's servant, from God's word that David heard. We're going to hear, as we beg for mercy, we're going to hear God's already done it. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, you're right, I'm the man. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David, you're not going to die because God's already taken your sin away. He's taken away in the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You're not going to die because your substitute has died in your place. So when we beg for mercy, you know what we're doing? We're begging God to do what He already promised He'd do for His people in His Son. That's a pretty good way to plead with God. Just plead what He already promised He'd do for His people in His Son. Right, here's the fifth thing. The repentant sinner will confess his need to be born again. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now my inward parts, that's my heart. That's my affections, my desires. That's who I really am. That man of sin that's born in me. I try to hide from you. That's the heart he's talking about. And my inward parts, my heart, my affections, is already ruined with sin. That's the sin nature we talked about a minute ago. That heart, our heart is deceitful. It's so deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I need to be cleansed. I need something new. God requires truth. He requires inward worship, inward holiness, inward righteousness. He doesn't just require an outward show of religion. The Lord requires truth. He requires worship in truth. The way God said he's to be worshiped, in his Son. God requires truth in the heart. God requires righteousness in the heart. Not righteousness that we can do things to impress each other. He requires true righteousness in the heart. Well, my nature's already ruined in sin. We've already established that. My nature's ruined in sin. Yours is too. So what do we need? We need God to give us a new nature, don't we? That's why David says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I need to be born again. I need God to create a new man. I've already got Adam's sinful nature. I need God to create a new nature. I need him to create in me the nature of Christ, the second Adam, in the new birth. I'm already ruined in Adam. I need God to make me righteous and make me whole in Christ. You see, I need a nature that's holy. A nature that's washed whiter than snow, like David said in verse 7. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. You know, again, this is just begging God for what he already promised to do for his people. Isaiah 1, verse 18. You think how condescending the Lord is to make this statement. He says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. See, that being washed white as snow is being washed in the blood of Christ. That's being made the righteousness of God in Christ, our substitute. It's being given a new nature. See, my sinful nature can't produce what God requires. So what I need is God to give me what he requires. To give me this inward holiness, this inward righteousness, this inward faith. My sinful nature can't be changed, can it? It can't be fixed up. It can't be educated. So I need God to give me a new one in the new birth. Create this in me. Now the new birth is a mysterious thing. I reckon you don't know what it is till you've been born again. And we never can exactly say what it was or when it happened. But I do know this about the new birth. It happens when God the Holy Spirit applies the blood of Christ to our hearts. Back in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. What he's referring to there is the Passover. The blood must be applied. And when the Holy Spirit applies that blood to my heart, that's when I'm born again. Now, I can't look back and tell you when that was, but I know it happened. I know it happened. You remember the Passover. The father could listen to the instructions. He could go select a lamb and pin it up and watch it those number of days. At the exact appointed time, that father could take that lamb. He could kill it. He could roast his body with the fire. He could even catch the blood in the basin. He'd take that lamb, go inside and shut the door, and eat that lamb with bitter herbs. Staff in his hand, shoes on his feet. And his firstborn's going to die. The blood must be applied. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that's what God the Holy Spirit does for all of his elect. He applies the blood. That's the new birth. Verse 8, David says, we've got to be born again. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Lord, make me to hear, because I can't hear. By nature, I can't hear God. I can't hear God's word. Now, I can hear with these ears, and I can read. I can even memorize some of it. Spit it back out to you if you want. But by nature, you can't make me love God's word. You can't make me need it. You can't make me love to hear from God unless God gives me. He's got to create in me new ears and a new heart. Ears that hear and a heart that loves spiritual truths, loves the things of Christ. My sin has broken me. Something that's broken can't be fixed, can't be repaired. It's got to be thrown away. It's ruined. My sin has broken me. And you know, it's painful. Painful. It's more painful than a broken bone. It's more painful than a torn meniscus. David here talks about broken bones. Oh, it's so painful. But what can comfort me? Is there anything that can comfort my poor broken heart? The blood of Christ being applied, being washed in His blood, being made like Him. What more do you want? And I need to be washed throughly. This new birth, I must be born again. God can't just wash me on the outside and then set me down the way I am. He can't leave me the way I am, or else I'll defile myself with sin again. Just as sure as shooting, that's what I'll do. I need to be washed, and I need to be given a clean, holy, righteous nature that's not going to sin again. And that's the nature that God gives in the new birth. It's the nature of His Son that's righteous, that's holy. It's a nature that does love God. It's a nature that does believe God. And that nature will never sin. And it'll never quit believing Christ. Now, will we stray? Will we go off and not feel the filthiness of our sin like we ought to? Yes. But that heart won't quit. That new nature God's given won't quit believing Christ. When you hear Him, God sends you the message, your heart will be broken. You'll believe. It won't quit believing. It can't quit believing. And that's the nature that God gives His people. The nature that God loves. Not just that He says, yeah, I'll accept it. Yeah, it'll pass. It's the nature that He loves. That's the nature He gives His people. And this is what we're pleading. Lord, I've acted like myself in sin long enough. Would You act like Yourself and be merciful to me? Wash me. Create in me a clean heart. Give me faith in Christ. Then here's the last thing. Repentance and confession will be continual. It's a lifelong process. Verse 11. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Isn't that the believer's greatest fear? That the Lord will eventually get tired of me and cast me out. Oh, cast me not away from Thy presence. Do anything, but don't take Your presence away from me. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. And uphold me with Thy free spirit. Lord, don't leave me alone, but constantly uphold me. Hold me in Your arms and don't ever let me go. How desperately do we need that? You know, we either believe in total depravity or we don't. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. We believe in total depravity or we don't. If I believe in total depravity, I believe all I am is sin. I tell you what I'm going to believe. I need God. I need Him to elect me, because I'll never choose Him. I need God to die for me, to put my sin away, because it's so great it can't be put away any other way. All I am is sin. That's my sin nature. It's dead in sin. I can't hear, I can't see, I can't come. I need God to call me to Christ and cause me to come to Him. I need God to give me a new nature because my old one's ruined. I need God to save me against my will with my full consent. And I need God to keep me all the way to the end. Because as long as I'm in this flesh, walking on this earth, there's never going to be anything good in me. So I need Christ constantly. constantly. You know, we all know we need Christ. We need God in the big things, don't we? Something big comes up, some big, you know, that says, oh, we pray. I need God. I need His help. But then those little things come along. I'm going to run down to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. I need God just as much there. If I was going to drive to Texas, you know, I'd pray for Traveling Mercies, would you? How often do you pray for Traveling Mercies and run down to Kroger? We need Him constantly. And if He lets me go, I'm going to go straight to hell. If He lets me go, I'm going to create hell on earth, and I'm going to go straight to hell. I need Him constantly. Thank God, His mercy is new every morning. You're never going to out-sin God's mercy. Just keep coming to Him. And I'll tell you what, when God teaches me that, then I'm going to have something to say it's worth listening to. Verse 13. We'll, Lord willing, pick up here next Wednesday. But look at this briefly. Then, after I've learned that, after you've given me this new nature, after you've upheld me with your Spirit, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. The confession of a repentant sinner, it's worth listening to. Now, if we just had a time of confession and people come up here and start giving their testimony, it wouldn't be worth listening to. But if we're talking to one another, someone's preaching, we hear the confession of a repentant sinner, that confession is going to be worth listening to. You know why? Because their confession is all Christ. And He's worth listening to. That confession is worth listening to. That confession will comfort the hearts of God's people. Hearing that confession, sinners will be converted because it's all Christ. It's all Him. All mercy is in Him. All grace is in Him. All life is in Him. All salvation is in Him. Come to Him. Begging for mercy, just like David did. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our God, how we thank You for Your mercy. How we thank You that You've recorded these examples in Scripture that we so clearly see ourselves in David. We so clearly see our weaknesses as His weakness. We so clearly see ourselves, our wretchedness, our sin, our weakness, our failure. So clearly we see ourselves in the mirror of Your Word held up to us. And oh, how we thank You that You delight to show mercy to sinners. We freely confess, Father, our sin. Our sin is against Thee and Thee only. It's been done in Thy sight. It's been done in open rebellion against Thee. God, we beg You, be merciful to me, the sinner. Cause us here tonight to make this plea so we be like the publican of old as we leave in a few moments to go home to our houses justified. Because of Your mercy and grace in Christ Jesus. It's in His precious name, for the glory of His name, we pray and give thanks.